We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bow! Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show. Andy and Randy hanging out with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Sam Crenshaw filling in for Randy today. And tomorrow and yesterday. 3 days of Sam Crenshaw. Never a bad thing. Noon hour straight ahead. Lots to get to. We'll get into what if in about 20 minutes from right now, as well as a brief Wimbledon update from Sam. Find out what's going on over there at Wimbledon. I know Coco Gauff plays later today.
Yes.
Looking forward to that one.
Yep.
We'll get some damn good questions with Brian coming up at 12:40 as well. Before we get to the most important audio in the world, two things to mention. First, we're just 3 weeks away from the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. That's Tuesday, July 19th. Check out Odyssey's Big Time Baseball podcast with Cody Decker, Tony Gwynn Jr., and John Heyman. If you're looking for an inside scoop on what's happening in Major League Baseball from the field to the clubhouse and the front office, this is a podcast for you. New episodes of Big Time Baseball every Monday on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts. That's number one. Number two, Danilo Gallinari released a statement on Twitter. And it's just class, just all class, like you'd expect from Gallo. It's hard to say goodbye. We always know what we leave behind, but not what we'll find in front of us. Very philosophical. I leave behind good guys, special fans, and two unforgettable seasons. We flew high, Hawks. I'll never forget this. Thank you, Atlanta, from the bottom of my heart, Gallo. Love it, man.
That class.
Love it. All class. All class.
I'm going to need that framed on my wall. You know,
it's really good.
I'm gonna need that one. I'm never gonna get Danilo on my team again.
I know, because it's hard. It's hardest for Brian, the biggest of the Danilo Gallinari fans, to see him go. But here's the thing, like, and this is, you know, in all seriousness, you want to talk about an impact from a free agent signing? Okay, 2 years they went to the Eastern Conference Finals and the playoffs, so back to back playoffs. Mm-hmm. He was pretty instrumental in the playoff run a couple years ago. They asked him to do all kinds of different stuff. I mean, he was able to get hot any night and score, give you that punch. And then at the end of it, you flip him for a 25-year-old all-star. That's exactly what you need. Like, in terms of getting value from a free agent, Danilo Gallinari is, like, he's got to be one of the all-time great free agents in Hawks history.
No, all seriousness.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, dead
I mean,
serious.
All the things that you're laying out, like, there's you have to go back because it hasn't been that many playoff runs in Hawks history either. So
they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals how many times?
Ooh, Sam, you would know probably more than I, right?
Twice.
Two? Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
And they didn't win a game the first time.
Yeah.
The second time they won a couple, and Danilo was on that team. So, I mean.
I mean, he was a part of this team reaching a fever pitch in this city that, like, the we haven't seen before. And for anyone who missed out on it, I hope we're able to reclaim that next season because it was such an amazing time in the spring of last year. And like you said, he was a big part of that. You talk about a young team, a lot of youth, a lot of inexperience, a lot of guys who hadn't been in postseason before. His value was incredible for this basketball team, and it just lit a fire under the team and under the city. It was so tremendous. I mean, you've seen it. We waited a long time to see this city respond to the NBA the way that it did.
Yeah.
And, you know, people around the league and other parts of the country kind of look down their nose at us, you know, for years they have. But it reclaimed this respect around the league. The Hawks became a ticket people wanted to come to see, and we had this guy. You know, we rarely get guys in this town. And so when we have one, it's an amazing thing. we got a guy. We got a guy now that people in other cities are going to buy a ticket to come and see. We got a guy now that people go and see and they wear his jersey.
No doubt. And his shoes.
Right. You know what I mean? And we don't normally get that guy on our NBA team here. So, yes, that's why it was so urgent for us to make the decision to make this trade that we made last night. Because we got that guy.
Got the guy. And you put a really good guy next to him in DeJounte Murray, who the Hawks were able to go out and get for Danilo Gallinari and for four future first-round draft picks, which, you know, is not nothing. I mean, I know you get an all-star, 25-year-old all-star back on a really good contract, but, the Spurs got a good haul. Like, they did the right thing as well in terms of hitting the reset button and trying to figure out where they go next with their franchise. They got four first-rounders, and first-rounders in the NBA are always really interesting. They might not convey as great draft picks if the Hawks win a lot the next couple of years, probably will, but you can package them up, move them on for other first-rounders. Like, I'm just kind of from a basketball fan standpoint interested in what the Spurs do. Well, they've never been here before. Like, Pop is kind of older, twilight of his career, had all that success. Is he really going to go through an entire rebuild? Maybe. Maybe he will. Hawks already did that. And now it's all about adding pieces and, well, maybe being willing to spend a little bit. Here's the owner, Tony Ressler, from last month on with John and Hugh talking about just that.
Going into the tax does not scare us. Obviously, you want to spend money intelligently. Obviously, you want to run a good business. But for whatever it's worth, I do not look at the tax as being going into the tax is not, in my view at least, only possible if we are competing for a championship in that season. And therefore, our job is to go into a tax when it's good business to position ourselves for greatness.
Well, now we get a chance to see. That's a great thing to say. And I know that a lot of Hawks fans, we got a lot of run from that quote here on the station. A lot of Hawks fans like hearing that from the owner. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And now, okay, made this trade for DeJounte. You got some other guys on the roster that are making decent money. There's going to be some free agents out there. Maybe there's some mid-level. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an expert on the NBA salary cap either, right? Because it's very complicated. But show us. Show us. If that's what you want to do, then great. Let's do it. Let's put together a team that can win championships. And if you got to pay for it, pay for it.
But also, you got, like I said, we got a guy. And now we got a backcourt that's going to really attract the interest of some guys who are going to get their agents. Say, hey, man, call Atlanta. Call Atlanta and see if they got room for me. They're doing something good. I want to be a part of it. And that's something that we have missed for decades here, of having a player or a situation that's going to want free agents to knock the door down and say, hey, I want in. I want to come to Atlanta.
It feels like that's what this combo does, right? I mean, we'll have to see it play out on the floor. Who knows? Maybe over the next couple weeks, free agency starts tonight at 6. Maybe just the two of them being together, like in theory, without ever actually seeing it, is enough for a free agent to say, yep, nope, those guys. Those two guys right there, I'm going to play with them. But it seems like that's what it, because we always talked about that in terms of the rebuild with any NBA team, but the Hawks specifically is like, okay, we understand you got to be bad for a minute so you can get the draft picks. You got to nail the draft picks so you can build the team up. You got to get that guy or two guys that other guys in the NBA are going to look at and decide they want to come team up with, be a part of. There's a lot of different avenues towards team building in the NBA. Through the draft is the smartest way to do it, probably the easiest way to do it. What the Hawks did yesterday was another brilliant avenue that doesn't often get explored, but if there's a team that's about to hit the reset button that has a good player, well, you go get him. You go get him, and the Hawks were able to do that, unload, kind of like New Orleans did last year at the trade deadline with C.J. McCollum in Portland. Like, they hit the reset button because Damian Lillard got hurt. Like, DeJounte Murray's and C.J. McCollum's and guys like that are not always available. But when they become available, you go get them, and they were able to do that. The third avenue, or one of the other avenues, is free agency, which begins tonight at 6 p.m. And if you have a good-looking landing spot and a good-looking couple of stars to go play with in Trey and DeJounte, maybe that's what that does now, because it hasn't happened yet. Maybe that's what happens with these two guys.
And this has always been a playground for these guys. Off-seasons, they always want to hang out here. A lot of them, for years, guys have, like, owned property here, have off-season condos. You see them shopping in Buckhead or whatnot, or out to dinner, and they live with, but they wouldn't want to play here. You know, it's always been a little playground.
Now, is that just because the Hawks didn't have a lot to offer, or what?
I think they.
There's always been theories about this.
They feel like there was commitment from ownership.
Okay, sure.
There's ownership issues. And so I think those have been kind of put to rest. We got some solid ownership here that's really invested and really wants to see some things happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think just like we have with our football team, we got a solid local-based owner that wants to see good things.
Yeah.
We have that now with our NBA team. And so it makes a difference. It starts at the top. It really does.
It does.
And, you know, for years, I've seen guys, what's he doing? Damon Stoudemire, what's he? Well, he lives here. Why don't he want to play here? You know, I mean, there have been guys like that around here forever, man.
Yeah, it's easy to understand why he wants to live here.
You know what I mean?
A lot to offer.
Right.
Young, rich, professional athlete.
A whole lot.
Yeah, it's not a bad place to be.
But
even a young, poor, non-professional athlete is a fun place to live.
You know what I mean? But that's the thing that's been
or
the
old, poor, non-professional athlete.
but that's been the thing here. And now we got a situation. The team has done some things. The facility, the practice facility.
Yep.
The second to none. The upgrades for State Farm. And the crowd has shown that if you come and play contending basketball, it will be SRO every night. Why not come
yep,
here?
I agree. And you can certainly speak to this better than anyone can, certainly better than I can. But this city is a powder keg for any good team. Any sport can succeed here because there's a huge amount of fans for every single. You see it in the ratings for the NBA playoffs every single year. Even when the Hawks aren't in it, the ratings are through the roof in Atlanta because there's great basketball fans here. We know what a football city this is. When the teams are actually, like, if the Falcons would take advantage of it,
yeah,
or if the Hawks would take advantage of it, like the Braves do, the amount of passion, the amount of support that would, you've seen it with Atlanta United, just out of nowhere.
All of a sudden, it's a soccer city.
This city is just waiting for a decade of a basketball team to take over. And if these guys can be a part of it, I hope that they are. You saw a glimpse of it with that Eastern Conference Finals run a couple years ago.
Absolutely.
It's so ready for that. Like, and I get so frustrated with the narrative of it not being this or not being that. Yes, it is. The teams just haven't taken advantage of it.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the team to do it. I hope it is.
I think so. It lines up right now. And then you talk about the team a couple of years ago. Remember, people couldn't come to the games until the playoffs.
Right. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guys played in front of an empty arena, just family members and co-workers, whoever was working in the place. So a lot of people didn't really get to come and see that team. So you want to recapture that now that you got everybody can come in and watch the games and whatnot, because that was the biggest thing about, remember, until the Knicks said they were going to have Madison Square Garden full capacity, we were only going to let a handful of folks in down here.
How are they going to be able to handle the hostile environment of Madison Square Garden? Trey was all right.
Yeah, he was.
Kind of put his name on the on the middle of the court. Didn't he bowed? God, that was great. All right, let's get a couple of Braves moments in here. We'll get to What If coming up in about 10 minutes and talk a little bit more Braves as well. But here's Michael Harris again, just being great.
Broken bat, a little flare into center. That's down for a hit. Here comes Gosselin around third. The throw is going to be cut off. Michael Harris, lefty-lefty, extends the lead with a base hit. A wild pitch comes back to haunt the Phillies. It's a 4-1 game.
He hit off lefty. You know, that's not an easy ride, too. Yeah. He's throwing hard, and he just keeps on keeping on. I mean, it's some really, really good at-bats.
He's right. Always good to hear from Snit after a game. Always fun to hear Snit talk about one of the young guys as well. Michael Harris, again, 1-for-3, RBI. Stole the base when he got on as well. Made some great plays in center field. We talked maybe a little bit about it yesterday, or was it, I don't know, earlier in the week. The idea of the league potentially figuring him out and catching up to him.
Yeah.
Another night? Not yet. He's 327, 351 on-base percentage, 509 slugging percentage. They haven't figured it out yet. Michael Harris keeps on keeping on, like Snit said.
Yeah, we got to see if some of these pitchers, he's going to face some veteran pitchers. Maybe Nola has something for him tonight. Maybe next week when it's the Cardinals, a guy like Wainwright.
Yeah.
He's seen everybody.
He's so good still.
You know what I mean?
Crazy.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, let's see what happens when he faces some of those guys. But right now, he's figuring it all out.
Braves win again last night, 4-1. They take the first two games of the series against the Phillies. Another really good performance from Kyle Wright. 9 wins for Kyle Wright already. Going to get another couple starts before the All-Star break as well. Double-digit wins before the All-Star break would be fun. Matt Olson, another double. 31 doubles on the season. No big deal. Braves have a chance to sweep the Phillies tonight. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into a what-if here, me and Sam. Sam, get you a quick Wimbledon update as well.
Ooh, we got some breaking news over there right
now. Oh, good. Look at that. We'll find out what it is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian. We'll get back into what's trending top of the 1 o'clock hour. Smoking Joe Patrick going to join us to talk some Braves as the Braves look to sweep the Phillies tonight in Philadelphia. That would be 7 out of 10 against these above 500 teams. For all the folks that thought they were just preying on the weak, I guess not. I guess they're good against the good teams, too. And then an AMA to wrap things up at 140 like we do every day. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open. You could text us and tweet us as well. Before we jump into a what-if, Sam Crenshaw filling in for Randy today and tomorrow. Randy will be back on Tuesday from vacation. A Wimbledon update. Sam, obviously a big-time tennis fan and has covered tennis for a long, long time. What do we got going on over there in England?
We got some breaking news. We got something we haven't seen in a while. Iga Swiatek is, of course, the number one seed on the women's side, and has just been beating people Steffi Graf style. You know, I don't know if you remember Steffi Graf.
Oh, yeah.
She used to beat people and, like, leave the motor running. I'll be right back. Double park. I'll be back in 35 minutes. I'm going to go out and handle a little business. And that's the way she's been beating people. She just dropped a set.
Wow.
She just dropped a set in the second round. That's Leslie Patinema Kerkhoff from Netherlands. She's 30 years old, ranked 138 in the world, and she just won the second set. They're going to a third set on the women's side. We'll keep an eye on that. Let's see if she bounced back from that. But some other people we've watched for, John Isner was a winner yesterday, obviously popular, Georgia Bulldog, and six-time winner of the Atlanta Open. He's going to be coming back here to play in July. Beat Andy Murray, who also will be coming to play in Atlanta for the first time this summer. It was announced this week, part of the tournament field, and Isner won in 4 sets. That's big for John because we know how long he plus playing matches over at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
He holds a record.
He's
for
a
the
5-set long king.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But he played 4 yesterday.
Okay.
And that's, to me, that's big for him to save some. And in the first week, hopefully he has some stuff left for the second week to be able to carry on. Some other people, Taylor Fritz, who is on his way to play here, it could be ranked in the top 10. 11th seed American player was a winner today in 3 sets, so that was also good to see. Nick Kyrgios, and we talk about this guy because he has the temper tantrums and he can just have meltdowns and people expect that from him, but he's also quite a showman.
Yeah,
this guy can make some shots, and you know we talked about how he's just an incredible athlete, and when you get a guy like that on tennis, that's gifted in so many ways. He loves coming to play in Atlanta because they get him into McCamish Pavilion. And he goes in there and puts up shots and just plays some basketball. And that's part of the thing he likes to do in the morning. He goes out there, and as long as he can shoot some hoops while he's here, he's great.
He likes to come to town so he can get over to Georgia Tech and get jumpers up. I like that.
You know what I mean?
That's great.
He's a good basketball player. Matter of fact, he did an interview today after he won his match, and he had on a shirt with Allen Iverson on the front of it, which I'm kind of surprised because he's supposed to be a big-time Boston Celtics fan. But that's part of what's happening. Coco Gauff is coming up today.
Nice.
She's going to play her second round match. It was announced this week that we will get a second helping of Coco Gauff during the Atlanta Open. Of course, the women's match on the Sunday night, the first Sunday night of the tournament, has become so very popular. And you've had people like Sloane Stephens, Madison Keys, Venus Williams playing this match. And it's the first thing that sells out. Well, she's going to play Layla Fernandez, who we got to meet at Atlantic Station this week on the Sunday night. That one's just about sold out. But it was announced that she will play again on the Monday night. The 25th of July, and we'll play against Sophia Kennan. So we're going to get to see her twice, and it'll be a bit of a homecoming as a kid.
Sure.
She grew up here. Father played basketball at Georgia State, so there's a lot of people who know the family very well. they're looking forward to seeing her come back to Atlanta, and now they're going to get to see her for a couple of nights.
Very cool. And maybe she goes on a little run here at Wimbledon, too. Plays later today, and hopefully she can keep on winning. We'll keep you updated, of course, on all that stuff. Let's get into a what-if here.
It's time for What If on Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so you know how the game goes. We throw hypothetical questions at one another and see if we can, put the other guy on the spot, try to demand an answer. Randy always goes first, Sam, so you get to go first in his absence.
Okay. With a what if?
Yeah.
I thought you had a what if for me.
Oh, I can ask you if you
okay,
want.
Okay.
Let me go first. All right. What if the DeJounte Murray trade isn't the biggest move the Hawks make this offseason? Like, what if there's something bigger coming?
Wow. That would be incredible. That would be even better. Right now, we feel like we've made the move. I don't know if there's another bigger move out there, but if there's something else, I'm curious to see. We'll find out later on tonight, right?
That would have to be the John Collins and if there's something else trade.
For who?
I don't know. I mean,
Ayton.
It would have to be Ayton or
Gobert
or maybe there's a mystery door number three or there's another player behind it who's available. I don't know, but I mean, Collins' name is still out there. And if you listen to Woj and all these guys last night, even after the DeJounte Murray trade, the Hawks are still active. Like, they're still making phone calls. And it was the Heat, the Jazz, and the Jazz would maybe be Gobert. And then one other team that the Hawks, I guess, are still communicating with for John Collins. So, I mean, you know that there's interest in him. It's just they actually were to do it. You trade for DeJounte Murray and trade John Collins in the same offseason. That's a lot of action. That's what we were asking for at the end of the season. Got to do something. But they've already done something. That'd be a lot.
I'll ask a question. I mean, he's on the flight. He's going to rejoin the team. What if Ronald Acuña actually starts tonight?
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Would you want him to start?
If he's able to. I mean, sign me up as much Ronald Acuña as soon as possible. I think to me that would be the biggest thing about that would be that whatever concerns he had about that foot on Sunday when he was on the broadcast on ESPN wasn't as bad as he worried. I think the fact that he's even traveling to Philly, he's probably already in Philadelphia, but the fact that he's traveled there today to be with the team and could play on Friday is great news. If he does play tonight, if he starts tonight, awesome. Like then that means they're not worried about anything. If they use him tonight at all, maybe he's a pinch hitter in a close game late if they get into a spot where they would need him. That would be good too, but just the fact that he's back. Because, the way that it looked, they had to pull him out of the game and then he didn't play for a couple days.
It wasn't a good look.
And he kind of showed up in the clubhouse on Sunday with one of those like scooters so you don't have to put any weight on your foot. It's kind of concerning. Obviously, good news that there was no fracture or anything like that, but I just need... How many games in a row do we need? Can I get like a month of Ronald Acuña not getting hurt? Can we just have one? Because we haven't had one yet. I mean, he started the season not available because he was coming off last year's injury. And then they had to sit him down for like five games with the hamstring. And then he plays for a while. And then he fouls one off his foot. Can we just July? Because July starts tomorrow. And there's an all-star break and all that. So there's built-in rest time. Can we just get a July of injury-free Ronald Acuña, please?
Is that the thing you guys are most worried about with this Braves team as we move along throughout the season? It seems like the starting pitching's rounding into form. A lot of the younger players are playing really well. Dansby's playing the best ball of his life. But, there's that – is Ronald Acuña healthy? Is he going to play today? We kind of have that every single day where everything else seems like it's rolling in the right direction.
For me, yes.
Yeah.
Like, his health is, it's always concerning because he just always is banged up. He just seems to always be banged up. I think the injury bug has bit him already. I mean, Luke Jackson is before the season, Tommy John, Matzik's been down for a while, Soroka hopefully be back in a little while. Eddie Rosario went blind. They had to fix his eyes. He's going to come back at some point.
Yep.
And then
Ozzie.
So they've been bit by the injury bug. Ronald Acuña's health is always...
But even someone, like Ozzie, just the way that he's played so far throughout his career, you just assume that when he comes back, he just probably won't get hurt again the rest of the season. He's just going to be out there every day at second base where Ronnie's got that question mark,
Well, and I think it's also because of the way he plays. And that's the thing why we want to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to see this guy because of the way he plays the game. We can't change that. I don't want to change that. And maybe we have to save him from himself a little bit. Maybe we give him that off day every now and then. Mm-hmm. Like tonight, if he's not starting, he's probably going to be pacing back and forth. because he's there, he just wants to play.
He
wants to play, right? Yeah. So we got to kind of protect him from himself in a way. If that makes sense.
No, absolutely, it does. And he's not the first guy that's been in that category before. A lot of young baseball players just play that way, and then you get hurt a couple times, and then you get like late 20s and you don't wake up feeling as good the next morning as you did when you were 22. You know what I mean? You save yourself from yourself eventually because you just get a little older and it's like, oh, that hurts still. Like, I used to be able to slide headfirst into home plate, belly flop, and it was no big deal. Now I feel it 2 days later. Yeah. You know, everybody gets older, and these guys do too. So I think you save yourself from yourself eventually. What if the Braves track down the Mets by the time they play the Mets on July 11th? Like, what if the Braves are in first place on July 11th?
I think that'd be fantastic because, you want other people to help you out, but it's nothing like facing that opponent on the field with them and you determine your own destiny. I don't think the Braves get another chance at these guys. The Braves are a different team than the one that the Mets saw earlier in the season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so much different.
And they still split that series with them even when they weren't playing good.
Yeah, but they're a different team now. I just think they go out there and let's go and see if we can boat race those guys.
Let's see, you got one tonight. Three against the Reds, so that's four games. Four against the Cardinals, so that's eight games. And then three against the Nationals. So 11 games before you play the Mets.
Yeah.
You're down three.
You could be in first place.
It could be. You could be up in first place by five games by then, the way the Braves are playing. How devastating would that be for the Mets, too, by the way? Like, ooh, all the trash talking and celebrating they were doing in the month of May. Here comes June. The Braves are 21-5 and just tracking you down a lot faster than you expected. That'd be pretty brutal to not even be in first place by the All-Star break. I love it.
You're going to have that viral clip. It was Sal, whoever, who works up in New York and whatever, saying that the NL East was over in the middle of May. That's the clip. Like, from that point forward, the Braves have been pretty amazing.
Zero games.
That one's just going to play over and over and over and over again.
You know the other thing? Kyle Wright said this last night, and he is absolutely right. Like, there's a lot of things that have happened that have led to the Braves doing this, but he gave not all, but a ton of the credit to Michael Harris. They're 22-8 since Michael Harris joined the team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not all because of that, but it's a lot. I mean, he deserves so much credit for turning this season around for the Braves.
For a guy that when the team broke camp, saying, maybe he'll be a Gwinnett,
Didn't even go there.
Yeah.
Didn't even go to Gwinnett.
Unbelievable what he's done offensively and defensively for this team.
Speaking of Gwinnett, you guys got something tonight.
Yeah, final what if. What if I invited you, Andy, and Sam to the cornhole event tonight, downtown Duluth? What would happen if that happened?
I think I'd show up.
There we go.
I would be there.
I had no idea you live so close to downtown Duluth. You would have literally been on the roster this season. No, because a couple weeks ago we had to like split teams and find another group, and I would have thrown Sam Crenshaw on the squad.
You ever played cornhole before?
Have not. I've always watched it, enjoyed it, so I want to go and check it out tonight.
There you go.
There's a lot on the line tonight, though. I'm just going to be a spectator. There's a lot on the line tonight.
Yeah, big doubleheader. Big midseason doubleheader here. We're trying to take them both down, 6:30, 7. It's going to be electric. Downtown Duluth, you guys can come out. Say hello.
And I would, you can FaceTime me if you want.
Okay.
That's bedtime, man.
Okay, I got you.
That's bedtime.
Okay, as long as you still have the mustache.
We got we got diaper removal problems at the house right now. Like, I can't be playing cornhole, man.
Yikes.
I will say there is a fountain that a bunch of little kids run around.
Oh, she loves fountains.
Oh. There's a beautiful fountain right there that the kids just run around in.
Nobody loves fountains like Lily loves
fountains.
That might
be the selling point. Maybe
but she might
her
take her diaper off and throw poop at
someone. Hey.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to she's like a primate.
Whoa.
We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off. Nope, that's not right. It's not that time. We'll come back and get to some damn good questions with Brian coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20 to talk some Braves. Get your AMA questions in. Sam Crenshaw filling in for Randy McMichael today and tomorrow. Randy will be back on Tuesday after the holiday on Monday. Get your AMA questions in for me, Sam, Brian. Phone lines will be open in an hour as well. Before we jump into some damn good questions with Brian, do want to let you know, Kenny Mayne has joined the Odyssey family. New family member over here at Odyssey, Kenny Mayne, and his new podcast, Hey Mayne. Each week, Kenny will talk to someone he knows a little and is fascinated by a lot. An athlete, musician, celebrity. It'll be fun. I mean, right, he's got John Ralphio coming on from Parks and Rec. Ben Schwartz is his actual name. But if you're a fan of the TV show Parks and Rec, like me and Brian are, John Ralphio is one of the funniest characters on the show. And he's going to be on Kenny Mayne's podcast, Hey Mayne, so check it out.
That seems like it's going to be one of the most ridiculous but entertaining conversations. They could talk about anything between the two of those people.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a good time. How do you guys feel before sorry, I'm jumping the gun already on questions, but how do you guys feel Dukes and Bell feels about Kenny Mayne's podcast being called Hey Mayne?
Right, because it's very close to Hey Man,
yeah,
which is their thing.
I need to have a discussion about such things.
He's not going to market a beer, is he?
Oh, that's the next step.
Oh man,
the Kenny Mayne beer.
Then there's got to be a new catchphrase. I think in the afternoon, we'll have to.
Or they just fight him, and whoever wins, fight Kenny Mayne in a battle for the trademark, and whoever wins gets to keep it.
All right, if that's the case, I like the afternoon guys in that situation.
Yeah,
yeah, really. Yeah.
Dukes and Bell versus Kenny Mayne.
Either one.
Yeah, I'll take them. Yeah, Mike Bell versus Kenny Mayne. I'll take Mike.
Yeah.
I think Mike's got him.
Absolutely.
I think Kenny Mayne stays in shape and all that stuff, but Mike's got a crazy streak that I don't think Kenny's ready for.
Yeah. Kenny Mayne might do like jiu-jitsu or something like that. I could see him doing, or like taekwondo. He's a black belt or something like that.
He's that early morning in the park. What's the really slow one that old folks will do? Is it Tai Chi?
Tai Chi? Oh, okay, yeah, he's that.
I see Kenny Mayne doing some Tai Chi.
Flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah, or yoga, maybe. I mean, he is from Seattle. You know how we like to get down out there.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yoga is what I'm trying to say to you. let's get to Brian. And, oh, no.
Uh-oh. Oh,
we got one more update before we get to Brian.
Okay.
Randy McMichael with breaking news from the islands.
Oh.
Bad news. No luck. Couldn't find my goat.
Oh, no.
Jean-Pierre might be Curry, Randy says on Twitter.
Fill Sam in for doesn't know.
I bought a goat for a village, and they give me updates on the goat from time to time, Heifer International. And I hadn't seen him for a minute. Randy said he was headed down there. He was going to try to find him for me. Couldn't find him, so sounds like he may have been consumed by the villagers.
Do you think Randy was the one who did it?
Yeah,
You think he looked at it and he was like, you know what?
That's a great point.
I'm going to throw it. He probably has a grill down. He probably found a grill down there while he was in Aruba.
Randy did find Jean-Pierre and curried him.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what happened.
Come on, Randy.
I bet that he's eating them right now.
We're on to you. Yeah, he's tweeting and eating Jean-Pierre.
Yeah, he's probably got a red stripe just hanging out.
Where did the goat come from?
A goat farm. A family of goats.
Yeah, I mean, this is Andy found him and started supporting the goat.
I just am a humanitarian, so I decided a goat would be what I would do for the people, for the village.
If you were to support an animal and not necessarily maybe a human in that situation, what animal would you pick, Sam? Like if you had to, sponsor
a... It could be like a pit.
I think this goat needed some extra help, needed some financial support.
And he makes milk for the people.
Yeah.
She actually probably, because dudes don't make milk.
No, you make sure that's a girl goat.
Yeah. was Jean-Pierre a woman all along?
Oh, see there? See, like you,
Jean-Pierre.
Oh, Jean-Pierre.
Let's get to some damn good questions, Brian.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Damn good questions with Brian every single day at this time. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. A lot of talk today about the DeJounte Murray trade for the Hawks, obviously. Big, getting the 25-year-old. All-star guard, and a lot of talk about how it's going to impact Trey, what their relationship's going to be like, how that's going to work on the court. John Collins is the other guy who's been tossed in pretty much every trade conversation over the last year or two. Say if the Hawks don't make any more trades, and this is, or if they do, it's very small, and John Collins remains on this team with Trey Young and DeJounte Murray. What does the addition of DeJounte Murray do for John Collins' game on the court? What do you think, Sam?
I think it opens up some things for him. You got another guy who's great at assists. And I think that's the other part about it. So I think that's a part that will help him out as well. And defensively, obviously, but I think he's another guy that likes to facilitate when he can.
Yeah, I agree. It should mean easier buckets for everybody, John Collins included. It's also another pick-and-roll partner for John if him and DeJounte Murray are on the court at the same time. But he's a really good passer. And if him and Trey they're going to be out there together too, that's just more love for the other three guys that are on the floor. The other thing, and I think the thing – I don't know if I would predict that this is what's going to happen because we've never really seen it from a Nate McMillan team before, not just here, but anywhere. I hope that it means the Hawks run a little bit more. Like, you talk about if it's Trey, DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, and either Clint Capella and Yeka Okongwu, that's an athletic five. Like, that's a group that could get out and run and get really easy baskets in the open court. And DeJounte has led the NBA and steals last year. Like, should be two or three more fast break opportunities per game just because of him and his hands. That's one thing we're going to be looking real close. Like, I think, like, this is all great, and it's very exciting. And whatever, the DeJounte is a huge addition. Whatever else they do is going to be fun, too. Nate McMillan's got to figure out how to make this work, because these are tools. Like, these are very fun, multi-purpose tools that if you have a creative mind, like, that's, and I, you know, Nate McMillan hopefully can show us that kind of stuff, but they're giving Nate McMillan a full toolbox, man. Like, we don't need any more. This offense needs to open up a little bit. And I know they were the second most efficient offense in the NBA last year. I get that. But there were times where they'd get stagnant and they did not run a ton. I think they were the 20th team in terms of pace in the NBA last year. I'd like to see them be a little faster, a little more athletic.
Besides Trey, and maybe it's John or maybe it's somebody else, John Collins, that is, who does this trade help the most on the team?
Besides Trey.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it also helps a guy like Bogey, because Bogey is another guy that spots his catch and shoot, and I think that's something else. Another guy that can look for him and find him the way Trey does with now Hunt. Now Murray's going to be one of those guys you can just go post up.
That's a great point. And Bogey in the second unit, if Murray's out there with him, sometimes doesn't have to be the primary ball handler, which he was occasionally in the second unit last year. I think Kevin Huerter benefits from it, because Kevin probably in a more appropriate role now, where he'll be off the bench maybe 20-25 minutes instead of starting 30-35 minutes. And I think DeAndre Hunter benefits a lot too, because now they're both out there on the perimeter defending, and that's another, I mean, can you say DeJounte Murray is an elite perimeter defender? Can you say DeAndre Hunter is an elite perimeter defender? I don't know, but maybe they can grow into that. And having both of those guys out there together, I think, is really beneficial.
And typically, most of the teams you're going to take on, I mean, you know, some teams might have one or two primary scoring options, and then other, but usually there's two good wing players on most NBA teams. So if you have the ability to put Murray and Hunter on those guys, that's going to be very beneficial.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think Murray's enough as far as, because the Hawks clearly needed a big upgrade defensively, do you think Murray by himself, just this addition, is enough to get the Hawks to where they need to be defensively?
I do not.
Yeah,
I think you probably still need to add. That's what free agency needs to be for me, is another kind of 3-and-D guy, and then what we talked about, a wild card.
Yeah,
whether it's PJ Tucker or somebody with some knuckles.
Yeah,
what's this guy's scouting report? What's this guy got? Knuckles. Changes his own oil. You know what I mean? Like a lunch pail guy. Somebody who's tough, because there's still a lack of that, I feel like, on this roster.
And there's just so few of those guys in the league.
There's
that's the hard part. There's like five of those guys
out
there.
Calcium buildup is what we need.
And they all want to be on the Lakers, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or the Warriors or something like that.
They seem to. But very exciting stuff from the Hawks yesterday to acquire DeJounte Murray. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoking Joe Patrick going to join us to talk some Braves at 1:20. Speaking of knuckles, it's a guy who likes to... He'll knuckle up, Smoking Joe. And then any question you got coming up at 1:40 in the AMA. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.